Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Morning, morning, morning.
It's the boss. I call shots
like a boss. In the gloss. My lip
gloss, I only rock clear. On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson. I got that sunshine
in my pocket. Got that good. Welcome back. And it is fun to think about 1 week ago. We were sitting here speculating on where OBJ would go. Remember, he was going to clear waivers on Tuesday, everyone envisioned, and then he would be free to sign anywhere. And there was a short list of teams, the Seahawks, the Saints, maybe the Patriots, maybe the Packers, and then he landed with the Rams, which surprised me a little bit. It did not seem like they were at the forefront of all the rumors. I sort of envisioned he was going to the Seahawks, but clearly, the Rams are better positioned to make a deep playoff run. If OBJ wants, if he wants glory, if he wants a chance at a Super Bowl ring, he went to the right team.
Well, and he does. He always wants glory, not necessarily for his team, but for himself.
Well, that's the question, right? He's always been OBJ first, right?
For sure. I mean, so talented. But I kind of put it in a little bit in the same category, and kind of funny that they both ended up in the same season this year as a Russell Westbrook. I mean, you cannot deny the talent, the athleticism. I mean, wow, for both of them, OBJ and Russell Westbrook. But what have they done for the teams they've been on?
It's been a struggle. Sort of interesting, you probably heard Bruce Arians' quote.
That was the best quote ever. Tell it.
Bruce Arians said, I don't need another set of letters. I've already got AB. I don't need OBJ. And
he's not wrong.
I'm sympathetic to that.
You know, there's already been drama in LA over OBJ's jersey number. There was already some situation. And I don't know all the details of it, but he's been there. He signed on Thursday.
Okay.
Or Friday.
Yes.
Practice Saturday, walk through Sunday, and there was already issues.
So when they signed, and I'm not a Rams fan, in part because there's all this hype and there's all this excitement about Sean McVay and finding the next Sean McVay and all the media adoration toward the Rams has almost turned me off on the Rams. And when they signed him, my first reaction was, oh, that's going to be their death knell. He's not an addition. He'll be a subtraction to that team. However, Robert Woods' injury does create a need. And now, in hindsight, with Woods injured, it may be a really good move for the Rams.
Well, you know, Travis Rogers mentioned the Russell Westbrook fit doesn't seem to be great in L.A., so we'll have to see what happens here.
We shall see. All right, up next, we're going to take a look at what happened on Saturday. We'll talk some college football when we return here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
It's the boss.
In the gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, and it was interesting to see the developments on Saturday. It seems every week is a new narrative in college football.
So
one
exciting
constant, though, is Georgia, who has been one or two or three nearly every week. They've been number one for a while here. Georgia's very impressive. They continue to roll. They're almost the sure thing unless they lose in the SEC championship game.
Well, they're 10-0, but you know what's so impressive about Georgia? You talk about the Bulldogs, and you think about their defense, which is an unbelievable NFL-type defense. But what's nice is their offense is now developing. I mean, they're playing really beautiful complementary football. Even with a quarterback in Stetson Bennett that they're not fully – there's still questions because, you know, they've got JT Daniels on the side there waiting for his chance to come back in. So I think what Georgia is doing is just continually improving, and I love to see the offense really – meeting up to meet the level of the defense.
So as you round out your top four, it was interesting last hour we heard from Pat Forty.
Well, that's a fascinating top four.
Well, he had Alabama at number five, so they were the odd man out, Cincinnati in there at number four. How do you slice your favorite four?
You know, I loved Pat. I thought that was really bold, and I loved it. I definitely have Georgia at number one. I'm not sure about Oregon at number two. They're in the Pac-12, but, you know, which is not the strongest conference. But I like them in the top four. Ohio State, I would kind of say the same about the complimentary football with Ohio State. I think that I love them. I would maybe put them at number two. You know, they had two players on Saturday with over 98 yards rushing and two wide receivers with over 85 yards receiving. I mean, they put 45 first half points up on Purdue, and Purdue has been a spoiler for a lot of teams.
Yeah.
I like Ohio State as number two, honestly. I'd put Oregon at three, Cincinnati at four, and I do believe I like Alabama right outside at five because they had that loss to A&M, and A&M has not played great down the stretch. They lost to Ole Miss this weekend, and then they barely beat an LSU team. They played New Mexico State on Saturday, and that was just what you would expect, a total beatdown. So I see kinks in the armor in Alabama. I really like them at number five.
Well, with your rankings, you've got the two undefeated, Georgia and Cincinnati, in your top four.
Yep.
And then the two one-loss teams you pick are Ohio State and Oregon, with Alabama looking in. Of course, that will get settled in the SEC championship game one way or another with Alabama.
Okay, where would you move your top four around?
Well, I'm fine with your four. What I was surprised thinking about last week is Oklahoma is an undefeated team last week. I felt deserved to be ranked higher than number eight because they were behind a whole bunch of one-loss teams. But to the point you've been raising since the beginning of the season, Oklahoma hadn't beaten anybody of any strength, and they were barely beating a bunch of weak teams.
Like Tulsa.
And then finally...
Tulane. Sorry, not Tulsa.
And then finally they fell Tulane. To Baylor this weekend. And so Oklahoma... really, which I thought was the class of the Big 12, and might finish with a Big 12 championship as an undefeated team. A Big 12 champion undefeated would make it, but now they're out. And I don't really know the Big 12 is going to have representation in the CFP. But the Baylor loss was an amazing loss to me because I haven't seen a defense shut down Lincoln Riley's offense. Lincoln Riley's offense over several seasons now with all these great quarterbacks. Baylor's defense was dominant, and they won the game. It didn't surprise me so much that Baylor won. It was the way that Baylor won. It was that Baylor was able to win by defense. Usually when Oklahoma loses, it's one game a year over the last few seasons. It's because they get outscored because Oklahoma's defense is so poor. But this time, it was Baylor's defense shutting down Caleb Williams, Spencer Rattler came in. It didn't matter.
It didn't matter.
Baylor's defense was dominant.
They held the Sooner offense to 260 yards. That's it. I mean, it was so dominant. I absolutely agree with you. And honestly, for Oklahoma, what you mentioned is so true. They have not really been tested with competition, yet they have had to eke out games. And really, Baylor, this was the first opponent they've had this season that doesn't stink. Like, let's be honest about it. They have not had a quality win, and they showed when they finally got an opponent, Dave Aranda, what he has done at Baylor, and they may be lost, as we talked to Pat Forday a couple segments ago in the first hour. He may be going to LSU for that job.
Well, he's done a good job with Baylor.
He
should be on the short list for one of these elite programs. I mean,
really
Baylor's 8-2. Baylor is an impressive team this year. They've overachieved, I think. I think you got to give him a lot of credit. I mean, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State will have a big-time matchup coming up.
In the Bedlam game. That's going to be
the Bedlam game will be a great game. Oklahoma State with one loss. So it will be intriguing to see who comes out as the Big 12 champion. But when you just look at the ultimate CFP, the top four, where are these teams going to come from? What conferences? And right now, yeah, I mean, you alluded to, well, Oregon gets there from the Pac-12, but that's a weak conference. You either end up with two SEC teams, I guess Georgia and Alabama, or you do take a one-loss team from one of these weak conferences.
And I like Oregon in there. I really do. I don't mind it at all. And I think the committee has always been biased to Oregon since the Chip Kelly days. They really have. And, gosh, the Pac-12, give the committee a reason to at least talk about that conference, for goodness sakes. And Oregon is doing it. And they still have, you know, some more games to go, but I like them in there. I really do. I think that Oklahoma State is going to be interesting because you look, they are 9-1, but they're on a 3-game winning streak, and they blew out TCU this past weekend, 63-17, 686 yards of total offense.
Well, it's like, okay.
What?
It's impressive. And if Oak State were to run the table here and be a one-loss Big 12 champion, are they just as entitled to get to the Final Four as, say, Oregon, a one-loss Pac-12 champion?
You know, that's an interesting question. I don't know that Oklahoma State has the same, I don't know if it's respect is the right word with the committee. I think the committee loves Oregon,
yeah,
just like
well,
the same.
To that point, if it were Oklahoma, it'd be more likely than Oklahoma State. There is something about the blue blood heritage, the brand recognition. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, the CFP would love to find a way to get Alabama in there, even if Alabama has two losses.
I agree with you. I think it's tough to leave them out. It's really tough to leave them out. Anyway, yeah.
Well, one team that will be left out are the University of Texas Longhorns. Steve Sarkisian in a huge
loss. I'm sorry
loss.
I'm laughing.
Well, it has been a devastating run for the Longhorn fans, and there's no real end in sight. Right now, the Longhorns are paying for some of Charlie Strong's remaining contract, certainly Tom Herman's contract because they let him go.
Super expensive buyout for Tom Herman.
And yep. Then we've got Steve Sarkisian under contract at the University of Texas, and it doesn't look like he's going to live out his contract.
My gosh, after this weekend, okay, Kansas came to Austin.
Yep.
As 30.5-point underdogs to the Longhorns. And won. Did you catch the score? 57-56 in overtime.
In overtime.
Are you kidding me? I don't even know what to say. I mean, I read the score. I was like, wait, this cannot be right. And I mean, the Longhorns had a lead. They gave up like a big lead. And they were, what a disaster. And to me, this just, I don't know that the Longhorns can see light at the end of the Sarkness. And that's what I'm going to say. Sark has got to go.
All right.
I mean, honestly, this is a 2-win Kansas team. They marched into Austin. This has never happened. And the fifth consecutive loss for the Longhorns. They have not lost 5 in a row. I mentioned it last segment, since 1956. And do you know, so 12 years ago when they won the national championship under Mack Brown, beat my Trojans for it. I'm going to give them that due. It was Vince Young, unbelievable run. They've had one 10-win season in 12 years and 4 losing campaigns. Mm. I mean, this is a team that college football wants to be relevant and that has the money, that has the prestige, that has everything. And it's in the state of Texas, football state USA. Why can't they get this right in Austin?
I cannot answer that one.
Whew.
It's going to be a long road back for the Longhorns. All right, when we return, we're going to get a chance to visit with Howard Balzer, and we're going to ask him, are the Chiefs back? Did their win last night indicate that they are indeed back and have figured out their woes? It'll be Howard Balzer up next here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
The Boss.
In the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They're close, convenient, and known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. All right, this is the best segment of our week. We are joined by Howard Balzer. He is a show host here on the Sports Map Radio Network, our NFL expert. Howard, welcome to the show. You're on with David and Carla.
Great to be with you again. Always enjoy Mondays. It's my favorite show on Mondays at 5.
Yes. Yes. Well, you're our favorite guest, period. How about
local
that?
Local time here in Arizona. Thank you. I appreciate it.
It feels like we just pull up the lazy boy for you, Howard. Just put your feet up and let's start talking. We got Therapy Monday with Howard. It's the best.
Yeah, there we go. And a lot of fans need therapy on Mondays.
Oh,
we know that in the NFL.
Every week or every other week.
You might need some today, too, right?
Yeah, you're right about that. It was interesting because when players and everybody start coming into the interview room after yesterday's Cardinals debacle, and Kelvin Beachum, who's a very well-spoken, thoughtful guy, most of the time everybody comes in, they stand at the podium and wait for someone to ask questions. So he walks in, he says, hey, I just want to start by saying the sky's not falling. And I just say, let's put it all in perspective. And then he opened it up for questioning, which is what everyone needs to do. But we know that I think it's fair to say that a lot of times perspective is not a word in many fans' vocabulary.
No, and it is interesting. Of course, you didn't have Kyler Murray or DeAndre Hopkins yesterday. Kyler Murray has had, I guess, 2 games to recover from his ankle. You've got a decision about whether to play him next week or give him another week off heading into a bye week, which would then give him a really good extended period of time off. What do you think they will do this weekend with Kyler Murray?
I think right now it might be a coin flip because I had thought, quite frankly, he would play last week. And when that didn't happen, I think, well, this might be a little worse than they're letting on, which, of course, they really haven't told us much of anything. Well, then Kingsbury mentioned yesterday that he just wasn't ready to play. After the game, he said that he just wasn't ready to play. And then today he said it's going to be close. And so, obviously, it's an important game. You're on the road. Now, Seattle had a better record. Maybe you would put a little more into that game, but we also know that record doesn't matter in the NFL, no matter who you're playing. But they also want to make sure that he is as healthy as possible going down the home stretch. And so I think if it's close, he probably won't play. And they'll try to go into Seattle and rebound from the way they played yesterday. They did go into San Francisco the week before with a lot of these guys missing time. And so I have a sense that it might be another week. But if he's close enough, then, yeah, I think he might very well give it a shot. But like I said, there's still a lot of football to be played. Right now they're still tied for the best record in football. And so one loss is not going to be a season killer if they would end up going into Seattle without him and losing the game.
You know, Howard, what's so crazy is that, you know, right now to me, both conferences are up for grabs. Like where we were from week one to where we are now feels exactly the same. Like it's kind of nuts. I mean, I think Arizona has made a great case for themselves for sure, but wow. I mean, anything can happen in this NFL.
Right.
And so now we're talking on the other side of your game yesterday was Cam Newton, 32 years old, 1 year deal worth up to $10 million. They bring him in this week. And, you know, I loved it because I thought, what does that do for Carolina? It makes them relevant and gives them something to talk about, whether he's good or bad or whatever. And obviously it was great for him. How do you see the Cam Newton signing? What do you think about it?
Yeah, I think it was a good move by them because obviously Sam Darnold is not going to be there for virtually the rest of the season. And I would doubt that they would bring him back at some point because the fifth-year option they gave him for next year is not guaranteed overall, but it is guaranteed for injury. So if all of a sudden you put him out there and he gets injured again, then they're stuck with that for next year if he still has lingering injury from it. And so, but I'll tell you, PJ Walker played pretty well yesterday. He handled himself very well, but Newton is just it was obvious he just not only going out in the field, but he was just engaging with players on the sideline.
He's a leader.
Exactly. He was just giving that team energy. A guy who didn't have his first practice till Friday, and it was a walkthrough, and they didn't decide until yesterday morning in the team hotel when the coaches went up to Cam and said, hey, some of this stuff we practice, some of these packages, do you feel comfortable doing it? And he said, oh, yeah, I can. And boom, we saw him on the first possession. Now, the Cardinals helped with turnovers, which led to those plays in the 2-yard line that they put him in for. What really won it for Carolina were the Cardinals' turnovers. Christian McCaffrey,
believe it or not,
yeah, he had 100. How about this? He had 100. I think it was 161 yards from scrimmage.
Yeah, he had 98 rushing and like 60 something receiving.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I think it was 95 and 66. Whatever. I think it was 161. The Cardinals only had 169 as a team, and this this is a team that averages over 400 a game, and that Panthers defense was just everywhere yesterday. But you're right, Carl. It just shows what can happen in this league on a weekly basis. And here's a great stat. This is pretty phenomenal. The last 2 weeks, there have been 4 games each week where a team leading or tied in a division lost to a team that was 500 or worse. 4 times that's happened the last 2 weeks. The last time that happened in weeks 9 and 10 was 1970.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
And that just shows. You know, we're talking about teams like Baltimore losing to Miami. And, you know list them. Dallas losing to Denver last week. And then Buffalo losing to Jacksonville.
Las Vegas losing to New York, to the Giants.
To the Giants. Yeah, exactly. And so that's what can happen in this league. And no matter how many times players say it to themselves, and they do. Oh, they're asked if it's a trap game. No, it's not. We treat every game like it's 1-0. But the other team's treating it a little different, because that other team coming in, especially, they're desperate. They're playing with desperation, trying to save their season. And the Panthers right now, they're looking at themselves, as we go back to Cam Newton, as still a team with a shot at the playoffs. They're 5-5 now, but they're 4-1 when McCaffrey has played. And so that just shows how valuable he is to that team. And they're probably not going to win the division, but what the heck, with Tampa Bay losing yesterday?
I know, second consecutive loss.
Yeah, the Panthers are only a game and a half behind them in the division.
I mean, this is just
so who
nuts.
Knows? Who knows?
Do you think it's fair, given McCaffrey's, obviously his huge influence on the game is the impact, is it fair to evaluate Darnold without him? Because he started off the season so well when he had McCaffrey. When McCaffrey went down, so did Sam Darnold.
Yep. 100% agree. 100% agree on that. Darnold was actually playing pretty good football. Mm-hmm. They couldn't run it as well. Now, teams without McCaffrey, and some of their backups are okay, but a defense is not playing the Panthers without McCaffrey trying to account for one of those other running backs. So now they're accounting for the passing game, and they're making it difficult for someone to pass. Now, Darnold got injured, and so that has pretty much ruined his season. He'll be out, they say, 4 to 6 weeks, and he's already missed one of them. But but you're right. They might be better off if he was healthy with McCaffrey. But now they've got Cam Newton, and we'll see if he can. They said he's going to practice. The head coach said it today, Matt Rhule. He said he's going to practice this week as the number one guy. And we'll see. I mean, he had very limited snaps yesterday. We'll see if he can really get out there and play an entire game and be able to do everything in their offense that you want him to be able to do. But, hey, the guy does, like I said, he does provide energy for that team. And you have to look at them strongly. Yeah, exactly, for what they can do down the stretch of this season.
We've got NFL expert Howard Balzer joining us. Okay, I'd like to ask you about tonight's game. You got the Rams versus the 49ers. To me, the 49ers have been somewhat of a disappointment. They enter tonight's game at 3 wins, 5 losses. What do you think has not been right for the 49ers this year?
Yeah, it's tough to put a finger on it. Most would say injuries, but as you look around the league, I mean, everyone deals with injuries. That's definitely the case. I think a big part of it is that they've lost their identity a bit on offense. They've always been pretty much a running team, even though Kyle Shanahan is known as a passing guy and an offensive guy and all that. But most of it has still been around the run. And they've lost running backs to injury. They have a good young guy in Elijah Mitchell. But, heck, last week against the Rams, they only ran the ball 11 times. But part of that was because they fell behind early because of turnovers. And that's been the thing that's hurt them is having some turnovers and getting behind in games. And they haven't done – they're a pretty physical defense – but the defense hasn't played as well as it did, certainly, in that Super Bowl year. So they've played some tough games and lost them, and that's what this league is about, is winning the close games. And they've lost a few of them, and they're you have to believe they're going to be a desperate team tonight in another division game, playing the Rams, Monday Night Football, and try to show the football world that they're better than the way they've played. So we'll see. Von Miller's supposed to play for the Rams. Odell Beckham Jr. is going to play for them, but they suffered a huge loss with Robert Woods tearing his ACL on Friday. So I'm very curious after the Rams did. It wasn't that they lost to Tennessee last week, because Tennessee is a pretty good, very good team, but they just didn't look good in losing. So it's going to be interesting to me see how they bounce back in a pretty important, certainly important for the Rams, because they're trying to stay. They can tie the Cardinals for first place in the division if they can win this game. So I think it's going to be a pretty intriguing one tonight.
Well, it is interesting because if you look at that Rams team, getting Von Miller is a nice addition, but they basically are subbing in OBJ for the loss of Robert Woods. And really, at this point of the year, Woods is a much better player for them.
Oh, yeah.
because what's OBJ going to give you at that point? But
that's the thing. He's got to get on the same page as Stafford. They always say he can get open, but a lot of times he's not on the field where the quarterback's expecting him to.
Yeah.
So he's got to be a much better disciplined player to really make an impact on the Rams.
All right, Howard Balzer, I really appreciate it. You know, we love having you each week. Thanks for joining us again.
All right, look forward to next week. Take care. Have a good one.
It's The Boss.
And The Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
Always great to have Howard Balzer join us. And he was pointing out just the nature of the NFL this year and the rampant upsets that are happening. Just when we think a team is really, really good, they get taken down by a team that's not so good. Sunday, well, this week was really no different. I mean, the Washington football team beating the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
With Taylor Heinicke under center.
Taylor Heinicke under center. And you know what? He played pretty darn well.
He was awesome.
But certainly not expected to be a guy who would out-duel Tom Brady. But yesterday was his day. An amazing day for the Washington football team.
No, it really was. And you know, the fact that he, you know, if you saw his post-game presser, Taylor Heinicke's, if you don't cry, you are an ice prince or ice princess, because he just said, you know, last year he didn't know if he'd ever get the chance to play football again. But, you know, if he did, you know, just meaning being a backup and all in the NFL. And he just went in and, I mean, he did such a great job yesterday. 26 of 32, 256 yards. A touchdown and zero, I repeat, zero interceptions. Brady had two. He completed 68% of his passes. And, I mean, it's just impressive. It is really impressive. I'm so excited for him.
I mean, in Brady's defense, one of those picks was really his receiver's fault. But regardless, Heinicke was outstanding. The Washington football team, which came into this season much heralded and has a lot of stud football players, they did a good job. They finally played well. They lived up to their billing, holding Tampa Bay to just 273 yards. And that was the second game that their defense has held an opponent under 300 yards. But it's not been easy for them. And it's not going to get easier now as Chase Young is out with an ACL injury.
That is a huge loss for the Washington football team. That's really sad.
And Montez Sweat, he's out with a jaw injury. So that team is pretty beat up. Those are two standout guys, two Pro Bowl players, Pro Bowl talent level players.
What did you think of Bruce Arians? He holds, I appreciate his candor. He held nothing back. He said, our team's playing dumb.
Yep.
Brady's got some work to do. He was very honest about it.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Too many penalties, poor execution. He said, soul searching to do. And yes, he said this last year. He was pretty vocal. I remember
he was
being a little surprised at his willingness to critique his quarterback when they were off to a tough start. And remember, the Buccaneers were 7-5, and a lot of people were thinking they might squeak into the playoffs, but nobody foresaw at that moment that the Bucs were going to go where they went. And Arians is very vocal, but I think that resonates with his players. I think they know who he is. I get this impression that everything he's saying to the media, he's saying in the locker room. He's the same guy in both places, and that enables him to be so vocal and so transparent.
No, and I respect that. Call a spade a spade. If you know, and I think that his locker room would respect that too, because you look at the opposite of that, what's happening in Seattle, that locker room feels that Russell Wilson is Pete Carroll's, you know, pet, his little gem, and the rest of the locker room isn't treated the same. Bruce Arians is treating everybody equally. I did think it was interesting. Clearly, Tom Brady, we all know, is not used to losing. His press conference was 50 seconds, 5-0, less than 1 minute. Really?
I know, and it's funny because, of course, he said, look, I don't like losing, and he was so curt. And
does anyone?
Quick to get out of there. But somehow, it's different with him, right? And losing is worse for him somehow. I don't know. That's sort of the persona or the attitude or the notion out there. I don't know why he gets away with it, but he does, right? He's Tom Brady. I guess because he's done so well for so long, people allow him that. But he doesn't
yeah,
feel...
Yeah, maybe he has earned that. That's
yeah, I don't know.
Point.
I mean, there's no real reason why he gets to be more short-winded
dismissive.
And so quick and dismissive any more than some of these other quarterbacks who hate losing just as much, I presume. Very, very curious. Now, the other big upset of the week really was, if you go back to Thursday Night Football, it was the Ravens falling to the Dolphins, which was just impossible for me to fathom. The Ravens had recently been anointed as a team on the ascent and a team that might be the real class of the AFC, and then they fell to the Dolphins in a humiliating loss, 22-10.
The two-win Dolphin team. Yikes.
And the Dolphins' defense, credit them, they've really picked up their game, and they contained Lamar Jackson. They did an outstanding job slowing down the Ravens' offense.
Yeah, which was, you know, the final score was 22-10 Dolphins. It was the lowest point total ever for the Lamar Jackson-led Ravens, which is just, it's crazy because Lamar is being touted as a possible league MVP. And what they and you see what Baltimore has done with the, they've had such a crazy season. They have 13 on the IR, 9 of them being starters. Remember, they had that crazy start to the season where in one practice, their number one running back goes down with a torn ACL. The next play, number two goes down with a torn ACL.
Yeah, devastating.
I mean, like, crazy. So what they've been able to do, I mean, credit Baltimore, what they've been able to do up until this point. But also, you got to give a Miami team that is 2-7 at that point, fighting, that's still in the fight on the bright lights of Thursday Night Football. They never gave up. And that defense forced Lamar Jackson to win with his arm. And that didn't work.
Okay. Every week we're looking at the Dolphins saying, can Tua be their quarterback of the future? Or do they have to go out and trade for Deshaun Watson? Tua came off the bench and did lead the Dolphins to victory. Did he turn your head? Do you think he made a statement? Was this an important game for him?
An emphatic no. The only reason he came off the bench was because Jacoby Brissett went down with what looked like to be a knee injury and was in the tent, and Jacoby Brissett was ready to go back in, but Brian Flores made the call to keep Tua in. Tua did what he needed to do, but I didn't see anything spectacular from him at all. And, you know, to his credit, he has not had a lot of time on the field. He is very injury prone. He was at Alabama. He has been while at Miami. But no, I am not convinced. And maybe I'm being the cynic today. I wasn't convinced that the Chiefs are back either. So maybe I am being a cynic. But no, I wasn't overly impressed with Tua. He was serviceable. He was fine. But, you know, best moment of the night. Did you see Miami offensive lineman Robert Hunt?
Robert Hunt.
Oh,
convert that guy to
goodness.
A fullback. He knows how to run the ball. Give him a chance.
Okay, 6'6", 320-plus pounds, and he went, like, flipped into the end zone, reaching out with the ball. First of all, it wasn't illegal. He wasn't allowed to
turn the moose loose.
He kind of, like, pushed Gesicki out of the way to get it. He saw that ball and was like, what the heck? I'm going for it. It was maybe my happiest moment. I mean, I was watching the game by myself, and I was up off the couch going, yes, yes, even though I knew it didn't count. It was so exciting.
Yes, but it's so interesting because seemingly in that little sliver of time, 7 seconds, however long the play was, he seemed to believe that it did count, that
like
it was okay. He was a believer. He was all in. He was running for his life. He was going to the goal line. He was stretching out. He really cared in that moment. He thought he had it.
He thought he had it, but you know what? It was worth it. I mean, and he got so much love on social media, as he should. His teammates were going nuts. I mean, they were so excited.
Now, the game didn't have any touchdowns in the first half. And they went, when they went to break, you noticed something because you're a rabid music fan. Fox is hosting the game, right? This is Thursday Night Football. And what happens? They go to halftime break, no touchdowns, and you're hearing music. What did
okay,
you hear?
The faded music that went into halftime was brilliant. I say Sly Fox for Fox. So Elton John and Dua Lipa have this Cold Heart, this new song that's out, and it's part of Rocket Man, Elton John's old Rocket Man. You know, we know that from our days. But Dua Lipa is singing her little part, and this is what goes into halftime. I think it's going to be a long, long time till touchdown brings me round again to find. I, again, was off the couch, you're lucky I didn't sing, and said, get out, Fox. A+. That was awesome. They I loved it.
Highlighting a dearth of touchdowns.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Clearly, I need to get a life if this is what I noticed, but whatever.
So those were two big upsets over the week. There were also two big bounce-back games. Cowboys, after their devastating
loss
to the
Broncos.
You've got to
talk about that.
Well, they did bounce back really well, defeating the Falcons in a decisive way.
Trounce back.
It was a trounce back.
Yeah.
A really great outcome. Look, I think the loss to the Broncos was not about the Broncos figuring out how to stop the Cowboys, coming up with some unique scheme the Cowboys had never seen. Rather, it was just the Cowboys had been reading too much of their press clippings. They didn't come to play. They didn't have that last 10% of energy that every team needs to deliver every week. And the NFL is such that if you don't bring your A game, you can rarely win with your B game. And the Cowboys probably brought their C game that week. So, yeah, they fell to the Broncos. But yesterday they got redemption against the Falcons. And they did it. And, well, the great news for them is Dak Prescott was back to form. He was 24 for 31, 296 yards, two TDs, no picks. He just seemed in rhythm once again. And they got Michael Gallup back, their number three wide receiver, who's a nice addition, a great complement to Cooper and Lamb. So with that full portfolio of receivers in there, the offense got back on track.
And let's make note here for your Cowboys. This was not an Atlanta team that's been stinking it up. They're on a three-game winning streak.
Yep.
I mean, they really have been had some impressive wins. Matty Ice has looked great. His QBR yesterday at the hands of the Cowboy defense was 9.2. We're in single digits. Whoa.
Yeah, they were in a space. There was a lot of pressure. The amazing thing about that pressure was that the Cowboys starting two defensive ends, Randy Gregory on one side, DeMarcus Lawrence on the other, neither of them were able to play this week. And yet the Cowboys got pressure from the guys like Dorrance Armstrong. They did bring Micah Parsons at the defensive end spot some of the time.
He's ridiculous.
And he is a force.
Oh, my gosh. I love that guy.
But the Cowboys' schedule gets tougher here. Their next three games, they'll have to face the Chiefs, the Raiders, and the Saints. So they'll be playing Mahomes and Carr back-to-back in a span of 5 days. That's a challenge. And, it's, of course, then they've got to go to New Orleans, and it's never easy to win in New Orleans. So, and they've got five of their last eight games away from home. So, look, the Cowboys are going to win the NFC East. It just has to happen, right? That's a bad, bad division.
But they're taking on the AFC West, which is tight, tight, tight. I mean, you've got, as of last night.
And much more competitive.
The Chiefs are at the top.
Better teams.
Yeah, I mean, it's that AFC West that the Cowboys are going to be facing. Chiefs are at the top at 6-4. Then you have the Chargers in Las Vegas, both at 5-4, and then Denver at 5-5. So they've already taken, they took their loss with Denver. But, you know, is that the Chiefs?
Thankfully,
Raiders
they've already played the Chargers.
Yes, exactly.
So, but they've got to face the Raiders and the Chiefs coming up.
But what I saw last night on the field, I'm not worried for Dallas for either of them. But, you know, the term on any given Sunday is there for a reason. But I think if you're a Cowboy fan like you, you're kind of happy.
Well, the other big bounce-back game was Buffalo, after their embarrassing loss to the Jaguars last week, beat the Jets 45-17. Now, if your team is ailing, there's no better fix than to face the Jets. Is that not right?
You're right. And sadly, I think that my Raiders are falling into that category too. But yes, and not only the Jets, but the, you know, the Mike White-led Jets.
Oh, no. The Mike White dream is over, isn't it?
I think it is.
Mike White mania. He was outstanding. He was the future.
Talk about a whiteout.
It would not
White's
be Zach
be
Wilson. No, it would be Mike White. No.
Wow. It's just the microwave analysis of the NFL, right?
Well, he threw four picks yesterday.
And zero TDs.
Yeah.
That's not a good ratio. I'm thinking. But, you know, I mean, that's my question for you. I mean, Josh Allen is a talent. He's such a talent. And I think the Bills have a lot of great pieces around him. Do you feel like, you made me answer, are the Chiefs really back? Because I was at that game yesterday at the Raiders. Do you feel like, are the Bills really back? Or is playing the Jets, does this cloud this for you?
Well, one thing I loved to see yesterday for the Bills, they got Stephon Diggs involved early, and he caught eight passes for 162 yards. He is a catalyst for that offense. But they've still struggled to run the ball. They ran it a little bit better yesterday as a team. They had 24 rushes for 139 yards, but they have not run the ball well, and they're going to need to run the ball well, particularly as the weather gets colder deep into the playoffs. We are talking Buffalo. So we shall see. That's what they've got to really shore up, and they've got some time to do that. But the Bills will be there in the hunt, in the end, probably one of the final four teams in the AFC, and then we'll see who's ever hot at that time.
You know what's so sad about the Jets? I mean, I loved Robert Sala at San Francisco. He's a defensive guy. I mean, their defense is, as you termed it, abysmal. I mean, they're allowing 32.9 points a game over 14 yards per game. I mean, yikes. It's the worst in franchise history. He's a defensive guy. I mean, the Jets surrendered 30 points for the fourth game in a row.
Yeah, Robert Saleh does not have a defense
no.
with the New York Jets.
Gosh, it and is, I think he's a great coach.
I think that's now a question mark.
Yeah,
I think
maybe.
He had a lot of talent in San Francisco
he
that
did.
Made him look very good.
That's a fact.
All right, when we come back, we will break down the Monday Night Football game. We'll give you our picks. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on the Sports Map Radio Network.
It's The Boss.
And The Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
All right, a fun Monday night matchup because it is Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan, old friends, matching up against each other, Rams and 49ers. Now, they are playing in San Francisco, but 49ers are 3-5 coming into this game. Rams coming in at 7-2, and Rams appearing to be an elite team. All their chips in to win the Super Bowl this year. Rams are favored by 3.5 points. And I think I would bet that, yeah, the Rams will cover by more than 3.5. I think they're just a far better team right now. I don't really know what's going wrong with the 49ers this year. You can't blame injuries.
And I mean, you can't blame Jimmy G for everything either.
No.
Which I know they love to do.
This was a team that, coming into the season, had Jimmy G. They drafted Trey Lance. They had all these defensive pieces. Guys came back from injury, and they haven't put it together. So I'm going Rams tonight.
I'm going Rams, and they're going to cover.
All right. Thanks so much for listening. You've been listening to The Boss and the Gloss on the Sports Map Radio Network.